Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle, Four Questions Asked by the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher that ever existed, and teachers have to ask questions. They ask questions to find out whether we know what he is teaching us, whether we understand it thoroughly, or whether we are slacking and just simply not paying attention to what he has to say. Remember from your school days, the teacher asked questions. She had to, or he had to, as the case may be. Sometimes we slip down behind the one sitting in front of us. We didn't want to answer the question. But we must answer these questions, and these questions are just as vital to us today as they were to the people that he addressed these questions to in his day. Now, the questions are, and incidentally, before we begin talking about the questions, let's get beyond the fact that Christ was the greatest teacher. He was our Savior. He went to the cross, assumed the responsibility for our sins, accepted the charge of our sins, and died under the penalty of our sins. God's law demands death for sin, but God did not want to punish you and me. So he sent his Son to take our punishment. That is love. And Christ died on the cross, innocent as he was, for your sins and for my sins. He is the Savior. Not only the greatest teacher, but the Savior. Now, when our Lord Jesus Christ was in this world, he did not stand in high favor with the Jewish hierarchy. He was just a carpenter, as far as they were concerned. They did not know that he was their Messiah. But he shows it by his teachings, his marvelous teachings. Now, the four questions that we will be considering in this series of studies, the first is, what think ye of Christ? We will get into that one today. And he asked the question that we might have a proper regard for his person, who he is. Then he asked another question, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's a question that we must face today, that we might have a proper sense of values. Do we have a proper sense of values? We trust that we do have. And then he asks another question, when shall we buy bread that these may eat, he said to his disciples on one occasion. There were 5,000 people there. And Philip said, why, we don't have the money to buy the bread. The Lord fed that 5,000 that we might have a proper sense of our insufficiency and his all-sufficiency. Now, the fourth question that we will be considering in this series, if you have love to them that love you, what reward have ye? He asks in the Sermon on the Mount, that we might have a proper attitude toward others. Now today, we will be spending our time in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, if you wish to follow in your Bible. Now in this chapter, we have three groups of people asking the Lord's questions, asking the Lord questions, and then he asked them a question. Now, their questions were to trip him up, to find fault with him, to entangle him in his language, to put him in opposition with the law. His question was for their eternal good. They meant his harm. He meant their good with his question. Now, we read in verse 15 of the 22nd chapter of Matthew, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Now, they were just simply buttering up our Lord Jesus Christ. They were not sincere in their understanding of who he really was. This was just to flatter him. This was just to put him off guard. And then they say, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or no? Now remember this, please. There were Herodians who favored the Roman government. Then there were Jews who were opposed to it. He would find himself in opposition to either one of these two groups by answering the question any way that he could answer it, so they thought. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is the image and the superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are God, or rather Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. He had answered them correctly. We do owe the government our taxes, but we owe God our love that he died for us on the cross of Calvary. This question comes down through the centuries to you and to me. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but render unto God the things that are God's. Then the Sadducees came along. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. The baby born to the brother who married the widowed wife would be his biological son, but not his legal son. And now he says there were seven brethren. The Pharisees said there were seven brethren. The first, when he had married a wife, deceased, having no issue, left his wife unto his brothers. Unto his brother, rather. Singular. Likewise, the second also, and the third, unto the seventh, and last of all, the woman died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her, and they had no seed. There was absolutely no preference. There was absolutely no seniority, no priority. They thought they had him. What a ridiculous statement. In heaven, this woman with seven husbands, they thought they had him. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scripture, neither the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, had ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am, notice the tense, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. They would remember that Moses, when he stood by the burning bush, God told him, Take off your shoes from your feet. You're standing on holy ground. And then he told Moses, Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the present tense. Well, Abraham had been dead for over 400 years. And yet he uses the present tense. This can only mean one thing. God is living. It was not I was the God of Abraham. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Do you know these Sadducees? Never thought of that before. And he proves to them that there is a resurrection. They accepted the scriptures, but they wouldn't accept his teachings. Well, he downed them. But, oh, if they had just listened to him. And then the Pharisees came along. They were pleased the way he had put down the Sadducees. They came, and they asked him a question. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now this seems like a fair question, but just a moment. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now these Pharisees wanted him to pick out the commandment that was the greatest. And by the same token, that meant that others were not so great. That means that he would be putting down the law of Moses in spots that it was not consistent. If he picked out the greatest commandment, the Lord says, there are two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Perfect love to God and perfect love to our neighbor. And if we have that, we really don't need the commandments. They were amazed. One man said to him, I think this is in Mark's account, Savior, you said the truth. For if we offer perfect love to God and to our neighbor, that's better than all sacrifices and made to God on the altar. The Lord says, you're not far from the kingdom of God. Perfect love. Have we got it? Have we got perfect love to God? Have we got fullest love to God because he gave his son to die on the cross for us? Now it's the Lord's turn. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is his son? How is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither doth any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. These men had thought they had him. Now, the Lord Jesus, they thought they had him earlier. Now, the Lord's turn comes. And this question was designed to show them who he really was. What think ye of Christ? They said, the son of David. He is the son of David. He was promised to be the son of David. When the angel announced the birth of Christ to Mary, he told her that he would take up the throne of David, his father. But he was also David's root. He was David's God. And here the answer to his question stood before them, manifest, God manifest in human flesh. Here was the answer standing before them. Here was David's Lord, and here was David's son in the same person. Let's let the question come down to us through the centuries. What think ye of Christ? The world's greatest teacher? He is. The world's greatest humanitarian? He is. We could just use all the superlatives we could in referring to Christ. But I'm telling you, what think ye of Christ? Is he your Savior? Was he the Son of God? Did he die for you? He died for you? Indeed he did, and he died for me. Praise God for such a Savior. Our Father, today, let this question come down to us. What think we of Christ? Do we owe him our love? We owe him our life, our love, and our all, and we thank you for him. In his own name, amen.